love, the Lord did us, walked through the sea before us, and He's marked out the path for us. And there is a path. I'd like to talk about the path that the Lord has marked out for us, and a little concern to the path. To return to the 28th chapter of Job, Job chapter 28. Before reading this chapter, we won't read it all, we'll just read part of it first. I might make this comment that if you read the heading of the chapter, it says, there is a knowledge of natural things, but wisdom is an excellent gift of God. And this chapter is often being referred to as the Miner's chapter. And you'll notice where it says he, this is referring to the miner. This helps us to understand. So the first verse says, surely there is a vein for the silver and a place for gold where they mine it. Iron is taken out of the earth and brass is molten out of the stone. He, this is the miner, he setteth an end to darkness and searches out all perfection, the stones of darkness and the shadow of death. The flood breaketh out from the inhabitants, even the waters forgotten of the foot. They are dried up, they are all gone away from men. As for the earth, out of it cometh bread, and under it is turned up as a work fire. The stones of it are the place of sapphires, and it hath dust of gold. There is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vulture's eye hath not seen. The lion's whelp hath not trodden it, nor the fierce lion passed by it. He putteth forth his hand upon the rock. He overturneth the mountains by the roots. He cutteth out rivers among the rocks, and his eye seeth every precious thing. He bindeth the flood from overflowing, and the thing that is dead bringeth he forth to life. We'll stop there for now. What is the joy of reading this chapter? And one has read this chapter many times without realizing just what the chapter was speaking about. And so surely it's plain that this is speaking about a mine. Surely there is a vein for the silver. And so men get silver out of a mine. And they get gold. There is a place for the gold. And iron is taken out of the earth. And so this is a mine. And he, the miner, he setteth an end to darkness. The miner, before he can go down into that mine, he has to set an end to darkness. Otherwise, he wouldn't be able to search out and find those hidden precious ore that is down there. Those precious things. And so he puts an end to darkness. The miner, as he goes down in the mine, he has that helmet on, you know. And it's very important to have a helmet and going down in the mine because there is danger. There might be a rock fall on you. And you know, that helmet that they have on is a protection. And then they have a light fastened to the helmet, and every step they take into the mine, there is a light going before them, and the light, what does it do? It dispels the darkness, and the light reveals what there is there. And so the miner, yes, he has a knowledge of natural things, and he knows better than to go down in the mine without a light. Well, what a lesson for us to learn. If you and I are going to find out the precious jewels that are in this Word of God, we need to have the light that God gives to us in this Word. Yes, and we need to walk in the light. And woe be to the Christian that seeks to walk through this world without a light. Oh, we need the light of God's Word, or we're going to have a fall. We need the light of God's Word, or we'll never enter into all those precious things that God has for us in His Word. And so, the light, why it dispels the darkness. And the light reveals to the dangers. Oh, how often they love. I think for myself. How often we, at times, forgetful, you know, we seek to go on a path without turning to the Word of God for light for that path. Oh, there isn't a path that God would have you and I tread into this scene, but what He has given us, a little light, you know, from His Word. And we'll be tied up if we don't walk in the light of God's Word. I remember some time ago, a friend of some of us here, he went on a journey. And I've been to this assembly different times. And he's been at home. And after dark, he walked outside around the house. And around the house on the side there was a 6-foot hole. And he fell down the hole on the rock. I know it was 6 feet because I've seen that hole. He fell down there. And when I looked down in that hole and saw where he fell, I just kind of shuddered, you know. He hurt himself badly. He walked in the dark and he fell in the hole. Well, I heard about this. And so when I went, I was a little cautious. And when I walked around the house, I looked for the hole. And sure enough, it was still there. It was still there. And I said to the one in the hole, oh, I said, that's dangerous to have that hole there. Why don't you have a barricade around it or fill it in? And I mentioned this brother who fell down in the hole. Oh, she said, the lady of the house said, he had a light, but he didn't have it turned on. He had a light, yes, he walked out in the darkness with a flashlight in his hand, but he didn't have it turned on. He was walking in darkness, and he fell down that hole. Well, I brought that to know as a little picture. How often, beloved, we seek to walk, not in the light of God's Word. And if we don't walk in the light of God's Word, we're walking in darkness. And it's a dangerous path. A very dangerous path. And so I trust that I have learned a lesson from that little story I've told you. Yes, how we need to be on our guard, you know, because Satan, he's very clever in putting pitfalls, you know, for us to fall in. Yes, he's very clever in setting his traps. And he knows our weak points. Yes, he does. And so he just sets before us what he knows our hearts crave, you know. And you know, if we don't walk in the light of God's Word, we're going to fall a victim. Yes, we're going to have a fall. And you know, that brother had to go home. He was hurt. He had to go to the doctor. Yes, there were scars. Scars. And oh, how sad it is, beloved. And when we walk in disobedience to God's Word and have a fall that leaves us scars. Yes, it does. Oh, may we seek to learn from that. May we put an end to darkness. The miner, he puts an end to darkness. All he does is put the light on. And all you and I need to do is to walk in the light of God's Word. And what a wonderful thing it is to walk in the light. And you know, the light not only preserves you and keeps you from having a fall, but the light, you know, it reveals the path. It reveals a path. Sometimes we go in a strange part of the country where we haven't been before. Sometimes we want to go through a certain woods, and you know, there are different paths. Different paths. I remember once going on a long hike, and at the end of the hike, it was up a mountain. At the end of the hike was right at the top of the mountain. There was a volcanic crater that we were going to see, you know. It was a long hike. But there was a path that led up to it. But you know, there were other paths that were leading off. And one needed to be sure they're on the right path. Well, I was thankful that I had somebody with me who had gone over that path before and knew the right path.
What is a path, beloved? A path is that where someone has gone before. And each one who goes over that path, why, there's a footstep, it hardens the earth, and it becomes what we call a path.
And so, we are walking, you know, through long grass or through a wood. It's much easier to walk on a path where others have gone before. Oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus himself has walked through this world.
Yes, he has marked out the path, yes,
for you and I to walk. Well, he, the miner, sets an end to darkness and searches out all perfection, those of darkness and the shadow of death. Well, we'll go down. He tells us what's in this mind. But to the seventh verse, I want to dwell on this path, what I have in my heart, and we might speak a little of the chapter if time permits. First of all, there is a path which no fowl knoweth, and which the vultures I have not seen. Now down in the mind there are perhaps hundreds of paths. Every mind has a path. And the miner, when he goes down into that mind, he's very careful, he walks in that path. There has to be a path. And so he walks in that path. There are many paths down in the mind. Many paths. What does it say? There is a path that no fowl knoweth. Down there in that mind, all the vultures don't know anything about that path. And the vulture's eye has not seen it. Now the vulture has a very keen eye, the keenest of all, I suppose. And he can discern at a tremendous high distance. Perhaps with our naked eye we can't see him, but you know he can see us. Yes, the vulture has a keen eye. And so way up there he can look down and he can spot his victim. But you know, the vulture's eye has not seen this path down in the mind, no, yet. And the lion, well, the lion, the strongest of all beasts, he hasn't walked this path either. No. There's that path down in the mind. Well now, this is a picture of the path of faith. Yes, there is a path that the Lord Jesus drawn as he walked through this sea. We sang it in our hymn. Yes, there is a path. There is a path, beloved. And there is a path of faith for all the children of God tonight. There is a path of faith. And if we walk in that path, beloved, it is a happy path. It is a happy path. And I'm sure that those here tonight will agree with me, it is a happy path. And it's a safe path to walk on. A safe path. And so the Lord has marked out the path for us. A path would indeed, I'm sure, speak to us of the path that led the Lord Jesus to leave the glory. The path that led him to Calvary's cross, where he proved his love for you and I by there dying on the cross for our sins. And so, there are different paths in Scripture. I like to talk about the path of life. Can we hold this chapter and turn to the 16th Psalm, where we get the path of life and how to get it? In the 16th Psalm and verse 11, David says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore." You know, the desire of every unsaved person, sometimes we have to say, sadly, some saved people. Often we hear them say, "Well, I want to see life. I want to see life, yes." And, well, beloved, the psalmist says, "Thou wilt show me the path of life." Who is he speaking of? It's the Lord, yes. And it's only the Lord that can point us to the path of life. We turn and connect with that to John 11. John 11 and 23. And if the Lord Jesus speaking to Martha, he could say to her, Jesus said unto her in verse 25, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live." Oh, isn't that precious? This is the path of life, yes.
I am the resurrection and the life. He's the life.
Oh, how wonderful. He's the resurrection and the life. You know, to believe in a person is to receive their word, is it not?
Yes.
And to believe in a person, why, is to put your trust in him. And to believe on a person, to believe on the Lord Jesus, is to rest on him. Oh, I wonder if each one of us know what it is tonight. Not only to believe in the Lord Jesus, to believe on him. Oh, beloved, I trust that each one here may know what it is to know him, yes, and to trust him, and to rest your hopes, not only for this life, but the next, on him. Oh, what a safe place. Well, the Lord is the resurrection and the life. So the Psalmist could say, thou wilt show me the path of life. And where does this path end, beloved? Oh, the Psalmist says, in thy presence is fullness of joy. Yes, every one of us wants to be happy. I never yet met a person that didn't want to be happy. Well, if you want to be a happy Christian, you have to get on the right path. And the Lord will show you that path. Yes, he will. And that path leads into his presence. That's where it ends, where there is fullness of joy. And to be at his right hand, beloved, where there are pleasures forevermore. Oh, isn't it worthwhile to be on this path? It's a wonderful path, the path of life. And so, there are other paths too. I think perhaps there is the path of the just. Proverbs 4 speaks of the path of the just. In verse 18, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Oh, isn't that wonderful? The path of the just is as a shining light. Oh, beloved, are we walking in that path? Oh, this is searching, is it not? Are we just in all our ways? Oh, beloved, to walk in a path that we know is not according to the word of God, it's not walking in the path of the just. It's not being just, no. And so the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more in the perfect day. That means that every step you take along that path, why, there's a light going before you, revealing the danger, yes. Oh, it's a safe path to be on, the path of the just. How wonderful. As a shining light. Yes, God doesn't want his children to walk in darkness. He doesn't want his children to walk in darkness. And if we do walk in darkness, beloved, we're going to lose out. Yes, we're going to lose something. God wants us to enjoy all of the good things that he has for us in his word. The Lord speaks, I believe, in the 8th of John. We turn to it. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Yes, John chapter 8 and verse 12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Oh, isn't that precious? He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness. It's a safe path, isn't it? Yes, it's a safe path. He is the light. You know, I like that verse in the 10th of John, where the Lord says, I am the good shepherd. And where he says, I know my sheep. Yes. And where he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. And he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Yes, he knows every one of them. Are we following him? This is the path of blessing. Last year, while down in the West Indies, I was speaking to a man that had some sheep. And I asked him if he ever lost any of his sheep, and he said, yes. And I said, what did you do? He always said, I went and I looked for it. And I said, did you find it? He said, yes. I looked for 3 days, and then I found it. I said, where did you find it? He says, I found it feeding another man's pasture. Yeah. It was feeding another man's pasture.
And I said, what did you do? Oh, he said, I called him by his name, and immediately lifted up his head and came right to me and followed me home. Oh, beloved. That's just a little illustration of the Good Shepherd. That man had sheep, he lost it, and he went out and he sought it and he found it. Sometimes I wonder if some of us, I trust not, but I'm afraid there are some of God's dear sheep that are feeding in other pastures. And if we feed in other pastures, we're going to lose out in the communion with the shepherd, yes. The one who is a good shepherd. Oh, yeah. And you know, it's only as we keep close to the good shepherd that we're going to be saved. But oh, if we get wandering off in other paths, it'll take us away from the good shepherd. And beloved, it will bring sorrow into our life. Well, how wonderful then to have the Word of God to guide us in all things. Well, then there is the way, path of holiness. And this is a very important path for us all to walk in. Turn to Isaiah 35. Isaiah 35 and verse 8. And a highway shall be there and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those a wayfaring man. No fool shall not err therein. No lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. Notice now, this is not a path. Oh, it's spoken of as a highway. And you know, a highway is a lot wider than a path, isn't it? Yes. And there's no difficulty in distinguishing a highway. I know this is speaking of a coming day, beloved. Yes, refer, no doubt, to those, that Jewish remnant that will be saved out of the tribulation. Yes, there's going to be a highway away for them. But I'm sure we can learn the principle that, for us today. And it says, it's the way of holiness. Yes, there is a path, I believe, and it's a path of holiness. And it becomes the children of God, the saints of God, to be found walking in the path of holiness. And what does it say? The unclean shall not pass. No, it's not for the unclean. Who is it for? Why, it says, it shall not, but the redeemed shall walk there. It speaks about the line, and no ravenous beast shall go on, but it shall not be found. But the redeemed shall walk there. Yes, it's a path marked out for the redeemed, beloved. Oh, how wonderful. And so there's no excuse. Sometimes a little difficult to find the path. Yes, it's sometimes a path may be very narrow, you know. And then we may have a little difficulty in finding it. Oh, here it speaks of as a highway. And oh, beloved, God has certainly marked out in His Word the path. And it is a plain path. We don't need to be in any doubt of it, you know. It is a plain path. The psalmist could say, lead me in a plain path, and sure we need that. 27th Psalm, I believe, speaks about a plain path. A plain path. Verse 11. David says, teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies, or because of those which observe him. So he asks the Lord to teach him his way and to lead him in a plain path. Oh, isn't that nice? To have the Lord lead us, and we want to be led by him. It is a plain path. A plain path, you know, there's no difficulty about it. There's no difficulty in detecting it's a path. It's a plain path, yes? God has marked it out plainly in his word for us. If we just ask Him to teach us that path, He will reveal it to us. You know, in Isaiah 30, it says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Isaiah 30 and verse 21. And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way. Walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. What does that mean, beloved? Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. Yes, it's not a voice.
It's a word. It's the word of God, yeah? Thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. This is the way. What does that mean, a word behind thee? Oh, beloved. Perhaps it means this, that we're running ahead of the Lord. Yes. Because the word is behind. And it says, when you turn to the right or the left, no matter what way we turn, it's the wrong way. And so, it says, thine ears shall hear a word behind thee. Oh, I wonder if our ears are ever ready to hear him speak. The Lord says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Yes. In Revelation, why, the Spirit speaks there. He that hath an ear too, let him hear. Well, beloved, God wants us to have our ears open. Yes. And he doesn't want us to get on a wrong path. No, he doesn't. You know, in Jeremiah 10, it tells us in verse 23, that it is not a man that walketh to direct his path, his steps. No, it's only the Lord that can direct our path, beloved. We can't direct our own path. We need the Lord to help us and to guide us. And he will. Yes, he will if we ask him to. Well, then, there is a different path mentioned in Scripture. Perhaps we might turn to speaks about in Jeremiah 6 about the old path. And Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old path. Where is a good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Oh, how sad this is. What does that suggest? Does it not suggest rebellion? They said, we will not walk therein. But what's the Lord say? Stand in the way and see and ask for the old path. Oh, beloved, the old path or safe path. Yes, they're safe path. Where's a good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your soul. Oh, isn't that what we all need tonight? Don't we need rest? Don't we just crave rest? Yes. What do we do when we're tired? Oh, don't we want rest? Yes, we don't want anybody to interrupt our rest. We just crave rest. Oh, and there is no rest. Oh, how lovely the Lord says, come unto me, all ye that weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Yes, there is a source where we can go to for rest. And it's to the Lord himself. And so, there is a path. And in 1 John's epistle, I'd like to read a verse there, where the Lord speaks about walking in the light. The first chapter and the seventh verse. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now isn't this lovely? If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. Oh, beloved. To walk in the dark, why, you can't have fellowship. But the Lord says we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. And you know, the early church in the second of Acts, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. We live in a day when the apostles' doctrine is taught to one side. It's referred to, well, that's all right for those who've gone before. It's old-fashioned. But they love the early disciples, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And then, fellowship. And there can be no fellowship without the doctrine. No fellowship. And they not only continued in the fellowship, but the breaking of bread and prayers. And these four things are so needful today. If they were necessary at the beginning of the church, they're just as necessary now.
And why has failure come in? Why? It's because the saints of God have not continued in these four things. Beloved, we need fellowship. God never meant us to be by ourselves alone. No. I have a dear brother. You know, he loved the Lord. But there he isolated himself for many years. His feelings were hurt, and he just went off by himself. And there he is. He loved the Lord, and he's going to be in heaven. But all these years, he missed out the happy fellowship of the Lord people. God wants us to have fellowship. And so it says, if we walk in the light, as he is in light, we have fellowship one with another. But beloved, if you and I don't walk in the light, we're going to lose out. And we're going to lose a lot of the light that we once had. And I'm sad to say that my own brother has lost a lot of the truth that he once had. And I was astounded to hear what he believes now in certain doctrines. He never believed it before. Oh, beloved, we can only be safe as we walk in the path that God has marked out for us. And it's a plain path. There needs to be no doubt about it. And it's a happy path. Oh, the Lord says in the 13th of John, he says, if you know these things, happy ye if you do them. Yes, if we know what is the right path, we're going to be happy. And we're going to be safe, too, as we walk in that path. Well, perhaps we might just refer to another scripture, Hebrews 12. And I think this is important for those of us who are older here tonight. It says in the 13th verse, make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. Oh, isn't this important? Make straight path for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. As you and I walk through this scene, we are making a path, yes. Every step is marking out a path. Oh, how important it is to make straight paths for our feet. You know, sometimes when we have a heavy snowfall, I remember we used to have to walk over a mile to work, and sometimes we wake up in the morning and there'd be a heavy snowfall, you know. And I was always glad when someone else had gone before me, and I always walked in their steps. Yes, it was much easier to walk in their steps. But you know, sometimes we might be like children. Children, you know why they run. They go this way and that way, and they don't make a straight path. But generally, an older person, why, he walks in a straight path, and you know, the others fall, has an easy time of it. I wonder, are we like children? Are we just making a crooked path? Or are we making a straight path? Beloved, I want to tell you that each one of us are walking on a path of some sort. Yes, and we are making a path. And if you and I make a path, and it's not according to the Word of God, there are going to be those younger ones that are going to follow us. Oh, how sad if we make a path that is going to lead someone astray. And the result of life of sorrow. Oh, may we be found making straight paths for our feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. May I tell you a story about a path? I know that young people like stories. I'll tell you a little true instance in my life. It happened not long ago. I was on a journey, and it was a journey across the waters, the Gulf of the Corn, Newfoundland to Nova Scotia. And whether it was the tossing of the ship, but I had a dream. As I lay in my berth, I dreamed that I was on a journey, and I was on a journey. And on this vessel, this ferry, there was a nice gentleman sitting beside me. And he was so lovely, you know. And he talked so nice. I thought he was a Christian. And I was just willing there to sit and listen to his words, his conversation, why his talk was so pleasing. And then he asked me a question, he said, where are you going? And I told him where I was going. And he says, I'm going there too. He says, when the ship docks, he says, come along with me and I'll show you the best way to get there. And there's lots of nice things to see along the way. And you know, he was so nice, I believed him. And so when the ship docked, Wyatt started off, and he started off down this road, this path, and I followed him. And I noticed that there were a lot of other people hurrying along this path, and once this man got on the path, he didn't turn back, he kept on going. And there I was following him. And I began uneasy, seeing all these people hurrying along. I turned and I looked, and I saw another path. And it was a much narrower path. But on that path, I saw an old brother in the Lord. He was going along that path, and behind him, I saw my own brother, and he saw the old brother, and he was hurrying to catch up. And I called out to him. I said, "Albert, wait for me. I'm coming with you." I didn't want to go on that other path. I didn't want to follow that man anymore. I realized it was the wrong path. But you know, there was no shortcut. I couldn't get over to that narrow path. I had to turn around, go all the way back to the very place where I got on the wrong path. Yeah, the very spot. You know, there's no shortcut. We have to retrace our steps. We've got to get back to the very place where we went astray. And then, you know, I got on that narrow path, and I hurried after my brother when he was out of sight. Yes, and I hurried, and the path got more steep and steep. And I was bent over going up that steep hill. And you know, beloved, I reached the top. Yes, I did reach the top. As I struggled up that hill, there was no regret. No, I was glad, even though it was hard going. I didn't want to get back on that other path. That other path was leading down. Yes, the Lord speaks in the depths of Matthew about the broad road, the broad path. He tells us where it ends. It ends in destruction. He always speaks about that narrow road that leads to life eternal. And beloved, I got to the top, and then I woke up. Yes, it was just a dream. But it taught me a lesson, and I trust we'll learn from it. That's why I repeat it. Yes, there is a path, and there are those who will seek to get us on another path. That they love, we can only be safe as we walk in the path that God has marked out for us in His own precious word. Well now, how nice this is. Well, let's just notice briefly a little more about this chapter. It speaks about the miner, you know, he put forth his hand, in verse 9, upon the rock. He overturns the mountains by the roots. Isn't it wonderful what man can do today? Yes, he can overturn mountains. He cuts a river among the rocks. And his eyes see in every precious thing. But beloved, if he didn't have that light with him, his eye wouldn't detect any precious thing, no. And he binds up the floods from overflowing. Isn't this wonderful what man can do? Yes. A miner once told me, he says, today, Eric, he says, they use a chemical that freezes the water. When down there in the mine, there are those rivers, yes. They cut into rivers. And there is danger of being drowned. And so man today, he closes them. He binds the floods from overflowing. So today they freeze the water. They stop the water from being a source of danger. Well, they love how nice. Man has a lot of knowledge. But notice verse 12. But where shall wisdom be found? Where is the place of understanding? The following verses tell us that we can't get it. No. Man knoweth not the price thereof. It is not found in the land of the living. The depth says it is not in me, and the sea says it is not with me. It cannot be gotten for gold, neither shall silver be weighed for the price thereof. Verse 20. Whence then cometh wisdom, and where is the place of understanding? Well, that's a fair question. Man has all this knowledge, but where shall wisdom be found? How is he going to get it? How are you and I going to get wisdom for our past? Can we get it? Yes. Man with all his knowledge, why he acts so foolishly. Man with all his knowledge today is leaving the Lord out of his life. And he's on the broad road that is going to end in destruction. Oh, foolish. Where shall wisdom be found? Well, I believe we can obtain wisdom, and there's only one way. And beloved, you know, in James 1, it tells verse 5, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. Yes, do we lack wisdom? Why, we can go to the Lord and for it. Perhaps we might turn to 1 Kings 3 and 9. I think Solomon asked for wisdom, and we find that he got more than he asked for. First book of Kings, chapter 3, we won't read the whole account, but we have Solomon here praying to the Lord, and in verse 9 he asks this, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? Now what does God say? God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy word. Lo, I have given thee a wise and an understanding heart. So if there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee, shall any arise like unto thee. And so on. Well, Solomon asked for wisdom. He realized he didn't have wisdom for the responsibility that the Lord had entrusted to him. And so he asked for wisdom. Yes, we can look to the Lord for wisdom. Perhaps we might turn to Proverbs 2. I think that also tells us plainly how to get wisdom and where to get it. Proverbs chapter 2. Read just a few verses. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and lift up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now notice verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment and preserveth the way of his saints. Isn't this nice, beloved? Oh, are we seeking it? Are we seeking this wisdom that the Lord can give? Oh, the Lord giveth wisdom. And we can't get it from any other source. It is only the Lord, beloved, that can give us wisdom for our pathway. Oh, may we be found walking in that path till the Lord comes and takes control. And so, I trust that we have learned something from this chapter. It's referred to the minor chapter. Oh, what valuable lessons we can learn. Yes, that miner, he goes down into the mine. Yes, he has an object before him. What is his object? His object is to bring out of that mine those treasures. Oh, they love those treasures. There are treasures in the Word of God. And you and I, it is only if we walk in the light of God's Word that we're going to be able to see those treasures. Yes. And who would despise having a treasure? Oh, beloved, may we walk in the light of God's Word. Now, in the 20th verse, it says, where is a place of understanding? And thinking of a verse in Psalm 111. And connecting with understanding, and we certainly need it in days like this. Psalm 111 and verse 10. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do his commandments. Now, if you and I want to have a good understanding, beloved, how are we going to get it? We have to look to the Lord for it, and we have to obey his word.
And let's remember again. Obedience, the Lord says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do. Well, may the Lord give us all grace to walk in the truth of His Word. Oh, there are many other paths, you know. Yes, there are many other paths in Scripture we can turn to. I think of one, you know, in the first half. What does it say in the last verse of the first half? It says, the way of the ungodly shall perish. Oh, that dangerous path beyond the way of the ungodly. You and I want to be happy. Again, I quote that psalm. Blessed is a man and walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful. And if you read the rest of that psalm, you'll read the blessings that result in obedience to that verse.